When you grow up so heavily criticized, figuring out when you are crazy, just like everyone else, or entering a full-on psychosis is trippy. My entire life, I was always corrected. Not one day of my life being without my mother becoming a real-life Siri, built with pointers and fun facts about myself that I never knew, or my father, an actual serial killer to my soul. It made me feel so useless and even unwanted that I did something so tragic, but was a trauma safety response. I played dumb. Seeing my dad was like going to play a live-action spiritual version of Battlefield, determined to sink my battleship to then berate my tears or cuddle me. He had weaponized physicality, knowing my mother was not for physical touch, which meant the only hugs I would get was after my heart was broken by him. But if I not only let my heart break, just so at least I felt physically loved by him in the face of his verbal assaults, I oddly set them in motion. I twistedly acted like the most helpless being, because even if I claimed my mental awareness or emotional intelligence, he would just ignite his typical debate strategies to leave me stupid or numb. So I decided to enter any space with him the way he wanted me, like a hopeless, helpless app. That way, because at least I would get hugged. It is something I noted with one of my exes that made me feel so devastated for the state of limerence I was in. TikTok psychologists describe limerence as relationships we mentally stay in, for better or worse, that felt unfinished or like something was undone within us. And the spiritual community is often known as karmic cords. My ex was a brief relationship, but a deeply impactful one. Often I have found that my quickest relationships left me more marked than my long ones, perhaps because I had time to grow exhausted with their mistreatment, that my literal exit from their emotional abandonment called love felt warranted. By week 3, I knew my ex was an asshole, but he was cuddly and had my father's knack for calling me beautiful and a piece of ish in one sentence. I approached them both like Icarus did the sun, so eager to feel their warmth as they burned my wings away. I stayed with him for 7 months, and I literally think it was because he held and kissed my hand. I was so hungry for human companionship that such a simple act meant the world to me, even if the person doing it would crush my world. It was only after we ended that I realized I had been playing hopeless and hapless for so long, I could no longer tell what was wrong about me or feel it could actually gain. My father raised me to believe that my safety lied in making men feel safe with my intelligence. I was too smart for them, and playing dumb protected me from either their visceral nature or their eventual physical exit from my life. It was strange to know my father saw me like a game, one he could manipulate like my mother in terms of turning our feelings against ourselves. For my mother, it was her ego. My father consistently telling her she was better than him, and in turn taking the best from her. For me, it was my heart and a hyper-awareness that I was willing to sacrifice my well-being and the right I had to demand my father provide for it, just to get that damn hug. Yet I always felt part of my father's growing mania and mental rage against me was that we both knew I was lying. When a man knows your love for him supersedes your love for yourself, he has you in his grasp. I was born in my father's grasp, and he knew no one would protect me for various reasons, but all would demand from me, the child, to be mature and understand a grown man can be more childish than a little girl. From a young age, I was made to understand this via my dad, and we both relished and resented how quickly I learned that he was a failure of a human being. He, too, living like a hapless victim just to see what he can get or avoid giving. I soon became his mirror, even if for a different price. Love. My father eventually recognized he could never pay the price because for him, love was money. He gave money to those he most loved or most feared, and he felt neither for me except the minuscule guilt at knowing I knew but still tried to play hopeless in hopes the hugs actually became genuine and not the cherry to his abusive ways. Yet we both knew the lying would not change the truth. He did not want to love me. His wallet was too full with others. Woo, what a episode, am I right? My father was very materialistic, very greedy, and he only paid people if he feared them or if he adored them. He was very terrified of his other wife and his eldest daughter. He thought they were mean and they would, you know, they would kind of, he He was terrified of the verbal match, because the irony is the devil fears himself. You know, my father could be very vulgar, very loud, very, you know, he verbally assaulted me. There's just no other way around it. He was terribly abusive in terms of mentally and verbally and emotionally towards me. And there was something about his eldest daughter and his other wife that he felt they could do that to him. They had his mouth, let's just say. That's the way he would describe it. And that was the thing about my dad. Whether he was lying or telling the truth, it was with the point of, this is why I'm not giving to you. Pity me. And my father, I think in a way, resented that I was so trained by him and in my mother in a way, to believe that he was such a failure of a human being, that that's why I couldn't demand even kindness from him. Because I always say, I would tell my mother, this man is horrible to me. And she was like, well, he's stupid. You know, he's stupid. And my father kind of went with it. And it's so funny how we mirror, because what happened with me is I would, every time I met my dad, he was so just eager to make me feel small that I started entering the room tiny. And he then resented that because there was no match. But I got exhausted. You know, if I told him, hey, I noticed you're doing this wrong to me, could you stop? It became a 3-hour discourse on how my feelings are just my feelings and his abuse isn't actually abuse, because he's an addict, because he found Jesus, because now he got his lawyer's license back, because he's traveling more, because he's highly educated, because he's highly intelligent, because he has childhood traumas. His mother didn't love him. It was always like there was always an excuse for why he behaved badly. And I think he kind of got disgusted at me because I didn't even behave anymore. Like, I had no behavior. We would go, maybe we would talk about television and movies and just eat in silence. Because even my eating, oh, you eat like a pig, you eat too much, you always ask for, it was like I could not have a personality in front of him. Because to have a personality just triggered him to make this character analysis without being even a moral character himself. And my father, because he only responded to fear and love, he didn't feel that with me. And I know he loved somebody, or he was terrified of them, because he would buy them things. He would kind of pay them away. And he loved my mother and he was grateful to my mother. But my father, the thing about my father being thankful is that he was so self-centered that when you did things for him, it was like, thank you for doing that. If he even said thank you, you should have. And he kind of convinced himself, because he had such a horrible childhood, and then he spent these decades kind of going on auto-destruct as an addict, he convinced himself that everything my mother did for him, give him money, never take him to jail, kind of excused, she wanted to divorce him. He annulled it illegally and behind her back. Obsessively call my grandma, my aunt for prayers. Like, he never, the thing about my father was he remained a part of our family. And my mother allowed it because I think in her head, I was still getting a semblance of what a family with a dad was, because he loved my aunt. My aunt was very Santera. He loved my grandma because my grandma, you know, my grandmother has a direct line to Jesus. And she's very positive and, you know, always has a kind word. And he loved that. He loved that. But he didn't do anything to keep that love or be thankful for that love. He kind of just used it to feed him as he held on to what he claimed were the people he feared, my older sister and his other wife. And what I realized is that in making myself tiny to avoid his abuse, I was a child figuring out a strategy so as my father could stop hurting me. And I didn't realize that that mental strategy would stay with me. I didn't realize that I was what I thought was protecting me at the time as I grew older and became an adult would sabotage me. Because what I found with my ex was, I know it sounds silly, but you get so lonely that even a hug is like water in a desert. And he was very physical, very touchy, very, you know, fluffy with words. And I needed that because my mother was not a hugger. She was not a complimenter. She was very critical, very harsh. You know, every day, "You're doing this wrong. I don't know why you do this. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." And I know she did it. I don't know why she did it. I know it bothered me. I told her that. She didn't stop. I know she loves me, but it made me not love myself. And my mother, I guess it's her Virgo placements or something, because she's very critical of herself too. So it wasn't like it was different from my dad, who, my dad had no shame. For him, I think I wrote it in an upcoming episode, there's nobody who was happier when we started to describe addiction like a disease than my father, because it was like, excuse, I've got an excuse, I'm evil because I'm sick, you know. He just, I think he got so tired of me and so hyper aware that I was playing dumb just to get his love, but he knew he wasn't going to give it. He didn't want to pay for me. He didn't want to buy me gifts. He didn't want to pay for my college. And the ending of our relationship was when he started to purposely sabotage me, like the whole master's program that I described in a prior episode. He started to enjoy hurting me. And that's when I realized, if before I was trying to play safe so that this addict doesn't harm me, now I'm in danger because this sober person has clarity, both emotionally and psychologically. And my dad is smart. Even if he's high, he's smart. And he was playing me like a fiddle. And I started to resent me because now I was aware this man will never love me. He does not love me. And I am officially staying in this relationship because my mother trained me and my culture, my people, my race trained me. Fue para Latinidad. That you just stay with blood. And my father had ruined my life, ruined it in ways that were so evil, like ruined it. And no apologies, never, never apologize. And he knew that I needed kindness. He knew that I needed hugs. But he also knew that there was a darkness in him that he was too scared to show his other wife and eldest daughter and his sons, because my father was misogynist, so his sons were safe. He only went for women. He only abused women. I think what I realized ultimately is that he was aware that I loved, my love language is sweetness. My love language is physicality. And I've had too many exes, and my father kind of realized my love language and then use it and weaponize it against me to leave me in silence. And my ex was just the last person that did that to me. And it broke me. It broke me because it's funny. I feel like for the last year or two, I've been so determined to heal, but haven't. I just kind of, you know, okay, I'm not going to do what I always do. You know, choose the wrong people because they, you know, like the Knock Knock bassist said, they just wanted to end my life. But now I don't necessarily choose right. I don't even think I choose at all anymore. And Daddy Recovery has, if I thought I only had 3 wounds from my father, I've realized I have 30 million. But knowing isn't healing. And that's where I'm really trying to push through. And I think one of the things that I have to heal is that idea that if I play dumb, I'm safe. And it's an idea that so many women have. because we're so blamed for how men destroy us, you know. If they rape us, it's because of our skirts. You know, if he left you, even though you stuck by him and his addictions and his self-sabotage, well, you chose to stick by him. Why were you there? You know, it's just when you get blamed for how people hurt you, it overwhelms you in a way that makes you just not want people anymore. And I'm a social person. I love love. So that feeling is depressing to me. And it feels very defeating because I do like people. I do love love. I just have never been loved. I've never been liked by somebody that I allowed myself to like and appreciate. Yeah. What a trippy episode. Jesus, thank you so much for listening.